American Samoa's Best Music Mix 93KHJ's wellness segments that are brought to us by the Medicaid office. And here we go with episode 2. Thank you so much for being here with us. Joining us in studio, we have Public Relations Officer Menino Reed, who will be kicking us off. And we've got a whole studio full of guests that we'll be talking to today. Menino, I turn the time over to you now. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, John. Thank you. Well, good morning, American Samoan. Welcome to our second episode of our wellness segment brought to you by Medicaid. Today, we're very excited. We have some specialists here. But before we get started with that, I'm going to turn the time over to our program integrity analyst for some Medicaid updates.
Thank you very much. Good morning, American Samoa. My name is Agnes Tinolamusile. I am a program integrity analyst for the Office of Medicaid. We are very excited to announce that we recently had a state plan amendment approved by the Center of Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS. And this amendment adds licensed practitioners to provide behavioral health services. Once again, it adds licensed practitioners to provide behavioral health services. What this means is that licensed clinical social worker, licensed family and marriage therapists, clinical psychologists are now able to provide behavioral health services and can be paid for or covered by Medicaid. And so today it ties into today's episode of mental and behavioral health with Tautua services, which they will be introduced in a minute, because they are a behavioral health services provider on island, and they are here to share and talk about what they provide for the community, and these services are now covered by Medicaid. So yeah.
All right, thank you, Nese. Just a brief history about Tautua Mental Health Resource Center. It was founded in 2022 by Adney Reed, licensed clinical social worker, and Tina Reed, whose passion for mental health and community well-being inspired them to create an organization dedicated to expanding access to behavioral health services in American Samoa. Established to address growing mental health needs and reduce stigma surrounding help-seeking, Tautua provides outpatient psychotherapy, mental health education, community outreach, and referral services through partnerships with government agencies, schools, healthcare providers, and community organizations. Tautua continues to promote mental wellness and improve access to culturally responsive behavioral health support through the territory. We have here Tautua's clinical director, Prince Formuna, and his colleague, clinician Muyao Molingo. Welcome, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Yeah, it's all for good morning, John. Good morning to Medicaid team with Nisi and Manino, and of course, Tayao Manuia, Marika Samoa. My name is Prince John Fomuina, and I am the clinical director for Tautua Mental Health Resource Center. Alongside me is my colleague, co-worker, program coordinator, and clinician. Yes, that's one person, Ms. Muyao Molingo. Mo, do you want to say hi?
Hey, good morning, everyone. Salafalava. Thank you for having us on this morning.
Gotcha. So Mo and I work for Tautua. Tautua is a nonprofit organization operating as an outpatient behavioral health service. Our primary services include individual, group, family, and couples therapy. Additionally, we also do community outreach and education, you know, wherein we'll go to schools, businesses, government departments, and community organizations to talk about all things mental health, unless there's a specific request, which we've had a few, such as suicidal ideation, employee burnout, anxiety, depression, and so forth. Regarding payment, our services are primarily grant-funded. However, with our Medicaid enrollment underway, we will provide more details in the coming weeks, so follow us on Facebook, on our social medias, at Tautua Samoa, follow the Medicaid State Agency, and of course, follow 93KHJ. Our clinical office, we are based at the Diwa Tafuna Center, facing the main road. Also, quick shout-out to the Diwa staff and Director Tapu Manaya Satele for their continuous support and collaboration in promoting mental well-being for our women, youth, and the entire American Samoa community. There are a couple of things based on community interest that we wanted to cover while we have this opportunity. So if it's okay with you, John, and the Medicaid team, feel free to stop us if we're going over time or if you have a specific question in mind. and we'll take it from there. So when we talk about mental and behavioral health, right, what exactly are we talking about? Mental and behavioral health are part of our overall well-being, alongside our physical health, social, emotional, spiritual, and of course, environmental health. They shape how we think, how we feel, how we respond to challenges, and how we cope with everyday stress. Because of that, it is helpful to regularly check in with yourself and become more aware of your thoughts, emotions, and behaviors. You know, one simple way that we can do that is through journaling. Journaling gives you space and time to recognize your thoughts, reflect on your emotional responses, and recognize patterns you didn't really notice before. It allows you to really take that step back and view your experience from a different angle. Now, I'll be honest with you guys, like many of you guys listening, I was pretty skeptical at first when I heard journaling, because as Samoans, many of us didn't grow up hearing, "Soli, you should go write down your feelings in a journal," which is okay. You know, hopefully you're tuning in this morning and you might give it a try today. Over the years, or at least these last couple of years, I've had clients who actually added journaling to their weekly routine, and many of them reported becoming more aware of their emotions and responding to stressful situations in a healthier way.
Can you just explain how that goes? Like, when you say journaling, do you do it like at the end of every day, beginning of every day, or
whatever?
Like, what would you write down?
It's pretty much whatever it is that you're going through, especially on these stressful situations, right? Like, if there's something going on at work, between you and your kids, your spouse, church, whatever obligation may be interacting with, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're just compounded with a lot of stress and you don't know how to express it, right? Because oftentimes it might lead to anger, it might lead to all kinds of things. But if you take the time to actually sit down and write out your thoughts, what it is that caused you to feel that type of way, what was your reaction, it allows the client, the patient, or whoever is practicing this to kind of see it like, oh, that probably wasn't the best response. How should I change it for the next time, right?
Okay.
So
do you recommend they write it down with hand or type it out in notes, or does it really matter?
Depending on who it is, the younger generation or the young patients that we work with, they like to write it on their phones. So that's kind of the thing. but of course, journaling isn't a quick fix. Like any healthy habit, it takes consistency, right?
Okay.
So don't try it once and call me tomorrow saying, "Sorry, Prince, it didn't work." Give yourself time, stay consistent, and allow the process to work.
To do it like every day.
Try to, but yeah. You know, realistically, not everyone is going to want to sit down and write out their thoughts. So whatever time you do have, find that time and then allow yourself to write it out.
And if I could add, you know, a lot of times with journaling, it allows you to process your emotions. Usually when you're flooded with emotions and thoughts, it's kind of hard to organize what you're thinking, what you're feeling. So it's that process that allows you to kind of just unload everything. And then hopefully a lot of times people see things much clearer once they get that off their chest or off their mind and onto paper. So,
yeah. So with that, and let me go aside from that, I wanted us to talk about mental and physical health too, right? So why is mental health just as important as physical health? Well, because the two are closely connected. I say again that they are closely connected. Your mental health affects how you think, how you feel, make decisions, cope with stress, and interact with the people around you. When you're struggling mentally and emotionally, it can affect your relationships, your work, performance at school, and just your quality of life. Just as we see a doctor when we're physically sick, we should also pay attention to our mental and emotional well-being. As many of you know, American Samoa continues to face high rates of obesity and other chronic health conditions. Research shows that obesity can be linked to great risk of depression, anxiety, and low self-esteem. Of course, this does not mean that everyone living with obesity will experience these challenges, but it does remind us that our physical and mental health are closely connected. It goes both ways. When we take care of our bodies, we also support our mental well-being. Regular physical activity can really reduce stress, improve your mood, boost your confidence, and ease symptoms of anxiety and depression. Activities just like walking, playing sports, dancing, exercising with family and friends can really make a difference. If you're looking for ways to become more active, we have some great organizations in our community. Check out Slimmer Stronger U, now in its 50th season. Big shout out to Coach Will, CC, and the entire coaching staff. Also, shout out to Coach Claude and FunkFit, Evolve Sports, for bringing the community together through softball and flag football. The Pickleball Association. I don't know if John is part of that, but pickleball is a big thing nowadays. The volleyball clubs with OT and all these sports organizations that continue to create opportunities for our people to stay active. Thank you to everyone who's helping build a healthier American Samoa. Again, health is wealth. Aside from physical health, there's also mental health challenges affecting individuals, families, and our community. Earlier this year, Totua conducted a community needs survey, and more than 300 respondents identified stress as one of the biggest challenges affecting their well-being. The most common source of stress were finance, and you can guess it, falavlavi, which includes funerals, weddings, birthdays, graduations, and other family and cultural obligations. While these events are, you know, they're an important part of our culture, they can also place a big amount of emotional and financial strain on families and individuals. When stress continues over time, it can really affect your mental and physical health, increasing the risk of anxiety, depression, unhealthy eating habits, obesity, high blood pressure, and other chronic health conditions. Are we starting to see the pattern there?
Yeah.
And again, it's just reminding us how closely related mental and physical health is. Now, with mental behavioral health, it's important that we recognize the signs and know when to seek help. Well, can you walk us through some of the common signs people should look out for when and when to seek help?
Yeah, thanks for that, Prince. So when it comes to signs to look out for in ourselves or in others, these are changes that are persistent and can go on for a longer than usual period of time. And I say this because, you know, we can all have a bad day, we can all have a bad week, but when these changes in our mood, in our thoughts, in our behaviors continue for weeks, months, or even years, that's when you want to take note and address those changes. So these signs can look like prolonged feelings of sadness or hopelessness about the present, about your future, loss of interest in activities you used to enjoy, even being around people, withdrawing from family, isolation, extreme mood swings, becoming much more easily angered or irritated, and something that's out of character for you. There are physical signs as well. There can be changes to your sleep or your appetite. You're not sleeping, you're sleeping too much. And then when you're sleeping too much, you may be sleeping all day. You wake up feeling still so fatigued, still so exhausted. Loss of appetite. There could be rapid weight gain, rapid weight loss. And then, you know, this affects changes in your appearance, and this affects how we function in daily life. It affects our performance at work, at school, could put strains on our relationships at home or with our spouse, our children, our parents. And then when you're dealing with these signs, this chronic stress, you can also see changes in the way we cope with stressors. So you may also see increase in substance use, increase in smoking or drinking, and then even turning to drugs to cope. And then, of course, there's thoughts of suicide and self-harm, right? So this is one sign that doesn't need to occur over a long period of time. Once you're having any suicidal thoughts, especially if you have a plan and intent to carry it out, you must seek help immediately. Fortunately, on Island, we have our 220 helpline. And of course, there's national helplines. There's through the VA. There's also the 988 line. And then when you get to a point where you're unable to manage any of these changes and shifts in your moods and behaviors, and the ways that you usually cope are not moving you in the direction that you want to go in, you know, that's a really good time to reach out and seek help and support. Or even before that point, when you notice, you know, before you get to a point where it's taking a negative effect on your life. Mm-hmm. And reaching out for counseling, for therapy or medical attention, it's not a bad thing. It's not a weak thing. It's not a failure. You know, there are stigmas that can make it hard for us to seek help. And these stigmas, there are negative ways of, or even our own ways of how we view and judge mental health and individuals dealing with mental illness. So stigmas can label people as weak, as crazy, lazy, unmotivated, less capable, and just so many others that we've heard of over time. But, you know, public awareness, you know, platforms like this, different partners, you know, spreading the word, having these discussions, these are ways that we can reduce the stigma on mental health. We can normalize talking about it, helping us to understand that mental health is, you know, it's not something specific to a certain group, to a certain person, but it's something that we all have and something that we all need to take care of and support, just as we do, just like you mentioned, just as we do with our physical health.
If I could just ask a quick question, you know, you guys, I think we've all, like, kind of, phones and smartphones have been a new phenomenon in our lives, but social media, but, you know, do you have anything about, like, phone usage or social media usage and how that relates to mental health? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, so thanks for the question, John. You know, when it comes to supporting our mental health, that includes kind of not flooding our minds, you know, with information. Like, we have information overload so much of the time. So, you know, when it comes to self-care, taking care of yourself in different areas, your physical, your mental, your spiritual, and emotional, you know, limiting your screen time, the information you're taking in, can really help to kind of help you process things, kind of help you see things clearly. Do you have anything to add?
I was just adding on to that, too. Like, it is kind of really different based on generations, right? One thing that we learned yesterday during the Youth Mental Health Summit is that the youth utilizes social media a lot for different reasons. But one thing is, it's kind of like the way that they read emotions nowadays. And one thing that I was shared yesterday was, like, they read this based on their friends' reposts, right? So typically in our generation, you know, we see, like, how people are feeling based on their facial expressions, their tone, and stuff like that. But it's interesting to see that for the younger generation, that's not really the case. It's based on social media, their interactions, their reposts, and stuff like that. So it's something to keep in mind as we look ahead into the future, especially with the generation after us, right? And how we can better address their needs.
So, like, if maybe a theme of, like, what they're posting or reposting, like you said, might not be them, but, like, what they're sharing, if they're sharing some dark stuff.
Yes, that's kind of what we were getting yesterday.
Yeah.
But again, I'm not saying that for the entire youth population, but it was a common theme amongst the youth that were participating yesterday.
If I'm in a bad mood, I'm going to post something or repost something that reflects.
Assumingly.
Yeah, okay. All right, interesting. That's a good insight. Thank you. Okay, getting ready to close things out here. Any closing thoughts here? Again, these are our guests on the Episode 2 Mental Behavioral Health Wellness segment sponsored by Medicaid. Our speakers that you've been listening to this morning, clinician Moa Molina and Prince John Famuina of the Tautai Samoa. So anything else that you wanted to add before we kind of wrapped up here?
Nothing else. Again, if you guys want to contact us, please call us at 782-8255 or email us at info@totuasamoa.com. Our social media is at @totuasamoa.
Good info. So if somebody, I just want to ask, like, are you like a psychologist? You can schedule a session with either of you and you can kind of talk to somebody that might be going through something?
Yes. So aside from us, we also have like a few other clinicians that we contract and we work with. And we're hoping that as Totuo grows, we can be that resource center that would inspire a lot of our locals to come back and work for us in this capacity.
So where's your office again?
Again, we are located at the Diwa Tafuna Center. Our office is facing a main road. You'll see the big red hibiscus on it, and that should tell you that's our door. You feel free to come in, and again, give us a call if you want to schedule a session.
Okay, but you do walk-ins too, huh?
We'll take walk-ins.
Okay.
But right. Again, it is by appointment.
Preferably by appointment. All right, good stuff there. All right, Clinical Director Prince Famuina and Clinician Moyao Molinga, thank you guys so much for coming on. And we go back to Public Relations Officer of Medicaid, Menino Reed. Anything that you wanted to close with?
No, I feel like the topics that we discussed today are very, very important, especially since I did see the youth summit that you guys had for mental health. I thought those were great discussions, and it worked perfectly that you guys are on air today just to kind of carry on that information. And so we're excited. This is a biweekly segment brought to you by Medicaid, and there are an array of topics and relevant health issues that we want to discuss over the air. And stay tuned for our next segment in 2 weeks.
Awesome. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. 93 KHJ, we'll be back after this.